goodness.
Well, look at this dance I made up to this song. Watch. See?
Looks good.
Does it?
Yeah.
Should I maybe do this? Hey, when you do one of your TV hits, can I be doing this dance behind you, baby?
Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, that sounds like a good plan.
I get a little bit winded, though.
All right. Guess how this lady, Tiffany Fortuna, spells her first name, Tiffany.
ZT. IPPF.
Here you go. T. Right. Here, you ready?
Yeah.
Tiffany Fortuna. T Y F A N E E. Tiffany Fortuna.
Tiffany.
Tiffany Fortuna.
So
listed,
she really likes tuna.
I'm Fortuna.
I'm Fortuna. You're Fortuna. New Jersey's Tiffany Fortuna recently shared a Facebook page. She is foster caring for what she calls a demonic or a demon, demonic or demonic.
I'm not sure what his religion is, but
Chihuahua.
He's demonic, she says.
Demonic.
A demonic Chihuahua.
A demonic Chihuahua. Okay? She says she called the Chihuahua neurotic, man-hating, animal-hating, children-hating dog that looks like a gremlin.
Wait a minute. So this dog is me.
She says the dog, this is not a good advertisement if you want somebody to take this dog permanently. She says the dog would only be good for single women, a lesbian couple, or a mother and daughter household. She hates men.
Oh, and did you mention that it pees on the floor?
Is she insinuating that lesbian couples hate men, too? Is that what she's saying?
What's your last name?
Fortuna. Oh, David.
No, but listen, if it's a lesbian couple, it would stand to right that there wouldn't be a male in the relationship, so it would fit in the home, right?
I think the problem is Tiffany. I could turn this dog around in no time flat.
Oh, with a little love.
Yep.
You could. The problem is the person.
You have to love the. You have to love the Chihuahua.
Yes, with you and Dwight, it's always the person's fault. It's never the dog's fault.
The dog's just being a dog.
Of course. Of course.
The dog hates children, so you guys probably should get along with this dog really well.
I teach all of my dogs to hate children.
Stop it. Stop.
No, I do. No way. Hey, can we come over to your swimming pool? Here's the thing. Lemmy bites kids.
Right. And guys that have rubs.
No word since it was shared 44,000 times on Facebook whether sure. The dog is gone.
Somebody
gone
will yet. Take the challenge.
Yeah, I know.
All right, guys, I want you to meet Heather Poplaski.
Hi, Heather.
Hi, Heather Poplaski.
I'm really not sure if this is a record, but it just may be. All of this went down in a 24-hour period, and here's what I'm talking about. Getting arrested four times in Plainfield, Connecticut. Let's start.
Wait a minute.
Okay.
Four times in 24 hours.
Yep. Let's start the clock.
Was she protesting?
Well, it takes.
Boy, in Louisville, yeah, it's just in and out, in and out.
They
in
do
and out,
have
in
to. A lot of places when you get arrested, you have to. There's a minimum amount of time that you have to be in jail.
Well, okay. But I think in this story, they're saying they're counting picking up a new charge as an arrest.
Okay, gotcha.
Let's start the clock at 6:30 on April 10th. That's when Heather was charged with disorderly conduct and reckless endangerment. Here's mm-hmm. what she did.
Yeah.
She threatened to cut herself and then blame it on her boyfriend.
Ooh.
Taken by the police, took her to a local hospital for evaluation, and there she earned another charge or a cite or an arrest that involved hurting a hospital staff member. Okay. Two.
She sings like a gem.
Now we're on two.
Yeah.
Then the next day, she wasn't supposed to leave the hospital, but she did. That resulted in a third arrest.
Let me guess. She's blaming the Chihuahua.
Yeah, a demonic Chihuahua.
Chihuahua.
Yeah. The third arrest was three counts of a violation of conditions of release, assault, trespass, and possession of a dangerous weapon. Finally, they get her in jail, and now she's in jail. That's where she picked up her fourth charge. Poplaski, or we'll just call her Heather, thought it would be a good idea to flood her cell, her C-E-L-L, my country ass talking, cell. Am I saying it right?
Yeah, you got it.
Cell.
Yeah, jail. Like a sailboat?
Good for you.
By shoving a roll of toilet paper and some trash in her toilet and hitting it over and over again, it flooded her cell.
Yeah.
They added third-degree criminal mischief and a $5,000 fine on her tally. Now, whenever an inmate does something like that, unless there's another inmate in there, if they flood their commode, I say let them sit in it.
Yeah, like a cruise ship.
I don't understand. I don't understand why they just leave them in there. Let them walk around in their own pee and poo, the whole business. No, you did this to yourself. Say, you know what? We'll get to you when we can. I'm showing next.
I'm pretty sure over time that's exactly how the jail cells dealt with it.
If I were a correction officer or in charge of them, I would say, oh, you flooded your cell by stuffing stuff in the commode and flushing it. Okay, listen, we're going to get to you as soon as possible. I think that's next Monday, if I'm looking at my calendar right.
Yeah, but then Mr. Hankey slides under the bars into the next cell.
No, just take some towels and clean up all the other stuff.
Why did you have to go there? All right, dumbest idea yet. Are you ready?
Oh, boy.
The inner beauty contest.
Oh boy!
I can't even get through it.
My favorite category is the sexiest thyroid.
Yes, the inner beauty contest.
Did you see the kidneys on
this
one?
Oh yes. Check out the CAT scan on this one.
It's like stop. It's like the dude that can't get a date. Well, he's describing. Well, he's nice.
Hey, right.
Nice guy.
I'm chasing a quick squirrel. Yes. It'll just be a second.
We're timing it now?
Lance McGarvey, the voice of the University of Louisville Fighting Cardinals, set me up on a date, a blind date, with him and his now wife, all right?
Okay.
And so we went out.
You went out with his wife?
No. Him and his wife.
And another woman.
And a woman that they set me up with.
Who would do that to this poor woman?
Listen. We go back to the apartment. We go back to different rooms. I come out to get beer. He comes out to get a beer. We see each other in the kitchen, and he goes, so what do you think of her? I said, well, dude, to be honest with you, she's not that good looking. He goes, so neither are you. And I went, well, he's right.
That makes sense.
And we went back to
Cupid.
That makes sense.
But go ahead, inner beauty.
Okay, inner beauty contest. So the contestants... would be
so whoever lies the best.
Okay. The inner beauty contest would be charity work, kindness at the office, cleanliness, happiness. There's no swimsuit edition here. The overall demeanor, and here's another one, scent.
Scent?
Ooh.
The scent of this person. So I don't know how that snuck in there.
Isn't that outer, though? Isn't that?
It's like looking at your really homely daughter and go, we finally found a contest for you.
Susan set me up to Blockbuster. Poor girl. Susan set me up to get a DVD at the Blockbuster. She said she wanted the scent of a woman. I brought back a fish called Wanda. Here's the dollar to the bad.
So instead of having the swimsuit competition or the evening gown competition, they walk up to the judges and they go.
I guess. Inner beauty contest. I have no idea what woman is going to sign up for the inner beauty contest.
But here's the thing.
Do you get a tiara?
Just think about this, though. What if it's some super spectacular, hot-looking woman, and she signs up for it and wins that, too?
Oh.
So not only do you have aesthetically, you're the most beautiful woman on the outside.
Oh,
but
no.
She's also the most beautiful woman on the inside.
You can be inner and outer beauty champion of the world.
Oh, my God. All right, I got a little gripe about golf.
Okay.
Wayne Player is one of the sons of Gary Player.
Okay.
Dave, did you see the story?
If you have to brag.
Yeah. Did you see any of these stories here?
I did.
So the Masters and golf is plastered with advertisements. It's on your shirt. It's on your hat. It's on your golf bag. It's on the golf balls you use, and they have close-ups of the golf balls all the time. But apparently, Wayne Player, the son of Gary Player, at the beginning of the Masters, Dwight, I'm telling you because you've never watched the Masters in your life.
But I've got them all recorded. Just when I have time to get to it,
right.
I'll watch them because Nothing's more important or nothing more thrilling to me than a bunch of old guys walking around hitting the ball while other people whisper.
All right, so they always start the Masters with the old guys like Arnold Palmer or Jack Nicklaus and Gary Player.
Right,
and
right.
They all
have Lee Elder this year, too. Yeah.
And Lee Elder, which there was a special moment. So they got Lee Elder out there because basically the Masters wanted to prove that they weren't racist.
Okay.
So they brought a black player that used to play out there. Racist any longer.
Right.
Correct. And so during that ceremony, which was sort of touching, and everybody was like, this is great because Elder's not doing well. He's very old, and I think he had an oxygen tank on or something like that. So it was a really special moment. And this reminded me of you for a second.
Oh, good.
Oh.
Because Wayne Player is standing behind his dad holding the box of golf balls up like an advertisement.
Like a Price is Right model.
Right, that's exactly right. So he's holding it up behind him. When they would move over, he'd move over a little bit and keep it in the shot.
So it's like a Baranos pizza box in me.
So,
yep.
Bad taste, yeah, okay. But the whole damn thing is a promotion. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
So what they did is the Masters said Wayne Player can never come back to the Masters.
Oh, my God.
The only problem was he didn't pay for that product placement.
Yeah,
and
you're
they
right.
got mad about it.
Oh, he didn't pay. See, I didn't. Come on. I mean, it's Gary Player's kid.
I know.
He's probably been. Oh, you're Gary Player's kid. His whole life's probably.
Now, if he was in the 19th hole and he stuffed a bunch of stuff in the toilet and it overflowed,
right.
Maybe.
Yeah,
he held
up
a box of golf balls.
Yeah.
Look.
Get you banned for life.
Maybe he should just get Backyard Oasis to come clean his pool, and he should float around in it. Okay, listen. Yeah. COVID toilet paper stockpiling. We all know we all went through it. I hated people for that. First time I said, honey, you're a genius, because she goes to Sam's, and she always has. So she gets these giant, like, here's a 55 drum of macaroni and cheese. Here's 712 rolls of toilet paper. So when all this hit, we were prepared. But if you remember, everyone kept buying toilet paper.
Mm-hmm. Can I make a point?
They're waiting in line for it, too.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
I hate macaroni and cheese.
Oh, my gosh. Why would you say such a horrendous thing?
It's kind of gross.
Not a
what
fan.
What are you talking about, gross?
Are you a fan, Dave?
Not a fan.
I'm not a fan.
I'm not a cheese fan, period.
It's just like,
oh, my gosh. It's like I don't even know you two.
It's like, who came up with this? And I know people are addicted to it.
That has to be the stupidest thing I've ever heard come out. Well,
you know what else he hates, Dwight? He hates pickles.
Oh, my God.
I know.
Too.
Did you try one of the Weatherbees?
No, why would I try something that will make me throw up?
Because a Weatherbees pickle isn't just a pickle. Dave, it's an experience.
It's more than a pickle. It's
it is. No, it's...
It's good, that, though. It's really good.
Is that written on the jar?
No, I made that up.
Right.
Okay.
Say it again with the enthusiasm you had.
Say it again with the enthusiasm.
Hang on. Take two, Dwight. Weatherby's pickle commercial. Go.
A Weatherby pickle is not just a pickle. It's an experience. dude. You like hot stuff. You like hot stuff, right?
Yeah.
You like hot stuff?
Sure, sure.
Yes, I'm choking.
Okay. They got one called Nice Knowing You that'll light you up. Try that one.
Okay. Pickles are disgusting.
No, your and face.
Heavy and gross.
Your face is disgusting.
Well, duh.
Where was I at? I can't even do a story anymore.
It was you go to Costco or something.
Now I just
macaroni and cheese by the tub. Susan's
Costco,
a genius.
Yeah. Costco.
My wife all the time buying stuff in bulk at Sam's. Well, when the toilet paper crisis hit, we were set. The Witten household had 712 of things of toilet paper that she bought last January.
You all became the mafia of toilet papers.
Right.
What's it worth you?
Craigslist. Here we come. Anyway, no, are you kidding me? Anyway, that sparked something that we knew was coming, a drop in sale for toilet paper.
Yeah.
Sales have dropped because all of these Americans had to buy as much toilet paper as they could find, and you can only go through it so fast.
Not just Americans. Don't blame us evil Americans all the time. It was all over the world.
I don't know. Was it?
Yeah, there was a dude in Australia that tried to take back hundreds and hundreds of rolls to their Costco, and they said, you bought it, you keep it.
I love that.
Yep.
Good for them. Anyway, because of the stockpiling of toilet paper, sales of Boy, my country ass can't say anything.
Renews it?
Sales?
Well, you were down and out yesterday, so your brain.
Sales?
Do you want me to punch you in the head again?
Could you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hang on.
You did sales for a living.
Hang on.
Just right there. Don't move.
Put the phone book.
Don't flinch.
Well, just put the phone book. Ow! Sales of the toilet paper has dropped up to 4%, the industry has told us.
And it worked.
What? In the meantime, companies are hoping they'll eat more fiber. Big toilet paper.
Yes.
Big toilet paper is suggesting that you eat more fiber to boost their supply again. Okay, listen. You've heard me talk about backyard oases on here. I love them. I'm telling you.
They're going to come over and do the stuff you don't want to do, even though you own a pool.
They've done it.
They did it for you.
I didn't do it anyway. Susan would do it. I'm scared of spiders and sea creatures. I didn't want anywhere near it.
Well, can they give me advice on how much that's PHTDX, whatever I'm supposed to put in the water?
Mm-hmm. Easy.
Not only can do that, they'll do it for you. It's called a maintenance contract. They come by and they do it for you. They'll take care of your pool. Listen, a pool is supposed to be something that you have fun with, not a burden. Thank you, Backyard Oasis.
And let's be honest, when Lemmy jumps in the pool, he jumps out and he'll bark, the pH is off. This is unacceptable.
That is true.
And then they both start to freak out and scream, oh, the pH is off. And they call.
Right.
Backyard Oasis.
Listen, living with a demanding dog is no fun, but thank you, Backyard Oasis. It's the mobile pool store. They come to you. Gone are the days where you're standing in line waiting for chemicals, accessories, parts. Let Backyard Oasis bring it to you. Now, if you don't have a pool, get one. I'm telling you, Susan and I and our in-laws, even Lemmy Dog, we're in the pool every single summer day. You would be too if you had one. Backyard Oasis builds in-ground and above-ground pools. Mention my name, Dwight from WHES. You're going to get 10% off any service, including, like I just said a minute ago, the maintenance contracts. They do it all at Backyard Oasis. You're going to love them. 249-5282. BackyardOasisKY.com.
Oh, no. What are you doing?
Was somebody talking about swimming pools?
Yes, we were talking
about. No,
Paul Stanley, we were talking about swimming pools, yes.
Listen, I highly recommend Backyard Oasis.
Oh, thank
okay,
you.
Okay,
that's
well,
good job.
That actually is
wow.
helpful. Thanks,
that really
Paul Stanley.
Is. Man, really. Back after this, keep it where you got it. News Radio 840 WHAS.
WHAS.
What in the world does this have to do with our next guest?
This is from Sister Act.
Sneaking Deacon, dude.
What do I know?
Nuns, deacons, nuns.
I'll tell you this. There's none greater when it comes to security than my good buddy Greg Getcher, the sneaking deacon. Hey, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. God bless you for your introduction there, Dwight.
Thank you.
No problem. Okay, listen. We're going to have some fun, but I want to talk about something serious real quick. In 2020, last year, the city of Louisville saw an increase in carjacking crimes. 160% they were up. Carjackings were up 160%. 2021? Well, we're trending to be worse than that. Right now, in Mayor Fisher's Louisville, it's an average of one carjacking per day.
Oh, my God.
Look, part of what Greg Getcher does is he's, by the way, former Secret Service, but he also trains self-defense. He also could be hired out by companies. What to do in an active shooter, or a company can hire him to say, you know, do an assessment on their property, not money wise, but what vulnerability is. Mm-hmm. Am I saying that right? Like a vulnerability assessment, right?
Yeah, just come out and just see where your weaknesses are from threats from the outside. And then, unfortunately, with active shooter training going up again, you know, we talked to him about threats from the inside, too.
Yeah, okay, so my point is. Never in a million years would I thought there'd be a market for that in Louisville, Kentucky. Here we are, though.
Right.
Tell us about let's do carjackings first. Shed some light on that, if you could.
Yeah, the other thing is interesting about the story they did is that, you know, some of the local cities near us were down like 1%, St. Louis, and Nashville is only 9%. But like you said, Dwight, we were up 160%, so that's drastic.
Because they moved here.
Open for business.
Right. You know, the thing that I've stressed when I do these type of shows, I always stress what we were taught in the Secret Service, and that's basic situational awareness. And people always ask me why I always say that, because it's so important, whether you're out walking or driving, you know, or even, you know, at a public event, to be aware of your surroundings. You know, obviously, we don't live in Mayberry anymore.
No.
There are threats, you know, as we see on the news every night, and we need to be more aware of our surroundings. So if you're talking about driving in a car, I just would say that, number one, when you walk into your car, have your key ready. This goes for everyone, male and female. And, you know, and try to unlock. Don't be fumbling with your keys. Unlock your door, get in, and lock it back up. If somebody's hanging around the passenger door, it's not a good idea to unlock it where they could get in. You just want to go up. And most of the cars, you can set that only your driver's side door will unlock with your key fob. But once you get in the car, you know, your situation awareness does not stop. So when you're driving and you come to a red light, that's a really bad time just to start looking down at your phone and not realizing what's on the side of you or what's behind you. Yeah. You know, and the other thing is, when you come to a stop behind another vehicle, give yourself enough distance that you could cut it left or right and get out quickly if you had to. For example, somebody's walking up to your car and you catch them on your side view mirror or your rear view mirror, and they might have a weapon, a bat, any knife, gun. At least you can get out of there quickly and you're not trapped. Does that make sense?
That makes total sense. While I worked at UPS, when we had to go through driving courses, and one of the things they taught us was always leave yourself an out. And I've applied that just in driving ever since. That makes total sense.
Because, Greg, along those lines, one of the modus operandi, so to speak, of the Jackers last year was to ram you from behind. And then when you get out to exchange insurance cards or something, there goes your car.
Absolutely. And that was the next thing that I talk about, distractions. That was getting popular. If you remember, people were stealing cars out of car lots and then taking the keys, right? And then with those cars, because they don't come back to you, right, they were doing a lot of other crime. So, and one of it was exactly right. Hitting another car, so your natural reaction is to get out to see what the damage is, and then a lot of times their friend would run around the front of your car and drive off. It's natural to do that, and I certainly can't give you the answer for every single situation, but, you know, I would, if that happened, I would maybe try to pull over, or, you know, most of the time with our insurance, you know, no fault insurance anyway. You know, you take a picture of each other's, you know, license plates or whatever, but you have to be very much aware of somebody tapping you like that.
Hey, Greg, what is the point? Excuse me for sounding naive, but what is the point behind these carjackings? Are they taking them in? Are they parting the cars out?
That's
with
my
bars?
Question. Where do they go?
Because you can't sell the car. There's a VIN number, so surely you can't sell the car.
Part what, it out,
what is
I guess.
What is the point of these carjackers?
Honestly, back in the day when I was working patrol, there was warehouses that they would take them to and strip them down and grind the serial numbers off and all that. Now with the security getting tighter, I agree that's not as common anymore. They used to, when I lived in L.A., they used to take the cars down to Mexico within a couple hours. But I think they're really using them to commit other crimes. I think because they could, you know, shoot at somebody. You know, we
have
our share, unfortunately, of the shootings. But they get a lot braver when that car doesn't come back to their name.
That's a great point.
I think they can do a lot other crimes with that.
Okay, but let's go over real quick, because it seems like everyone's got to conceal and carry now. It's the norm, not the exception anymore. So now we're living in a world to where if somebody opens the door, let's talk about like summer. We had summer on a couple days ago.
Monday.
Yeah, Monday, and she said the guy just opened the door and poked her with the gun in her shoulder. And if she had a gun, let's go over when it's appropriate, when you think it's okay to go into a shootout here over your car. I would think that even if you had a gun, you'd jump out and let them have the car, right? Or, I mean, it's because, you know, at some point, especially if you have other family members in the car, that's another difficult conversation we need to have.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I mean, you think about child seats in the back and somebody trying to steal a car. The people stealing the car probably don't realize there's a kid or kids in the back. They just want that car. You know, I've been a carry concealed instructor for a long time, but I was actually a Secret Service firearms instructor as well. You gotta, if you're going to carry a gun, you have to prepare yourself. You know, we talk about.
Oh my gosh, you're jacked.
Hey, are you there?
We're losing you.
You know.
Are you there, Greg?
Oh, we lost him.
He might have gotten carjacked.
Let me check his signal here. I'll be right back.
CIA probably is blocking his signal.
I bet it's the carjackers.
Right when we needed the information.
That's what I'm saying. I bet the carjackers jammed his signal.
Yes.
Right?
Just like a Bond villain.
Here, I'm going to dial 411 and report this.
Are you there?
Let's try it again here.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you got cut off after you said a Secret Service gun. You did a lot of that training, too, and then pick up from there.
Yeah, you just have to ask yourself, you know, we use the weapons, and we're taught to when you're defending life, right? When you're in fear of your life, you can use deadly physical force. That's just the law. So you got to ask yourself, are you going to shoot some young person who's trying to steal your car? You know, are you willing to kill them over your car? You know, and that's just something that you have to deal with, you know, personally. You know, and I know when she said, I think her name was Summer, right? She said she reached for her phone. You know, that concerned me.
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking, wow, you know, he could have thought she was reaching for a gun.
I know.
Right.
I know. I thought the same
thing. I think the bottom line, Greg, right? I mean, if somebody already has the gun in your ribs, any movement you make, you're not going to be ready to shoot at that point. So at that point, they've got the drop on you. You're best just to let the car go, are you not?
Yeah.
Yeah, let that car go. It can be, you know, most of them are insured and, you know, most of them can be replaced. But, you know, if you lose your life or critically injured or someone else's, that's a whole different story.
The other thing Summer talked about, by the way, was she parked because she had a new car. So she parked like in the back of the lot to avoid door dings, but away from other cars. When you go to like a Walmart parking lot or Kroger, are you best to go kind of out to the sticks on the parking lot or up with everybody else?
Well, you know, all these parking lots have a ton of cameras. I mean, you probably don't realize like Thornton's used to have like 30 of them. They're everywhere. So, you know, that's a safe place to pull off, by the way, if you're concerned about somebody following you or, you know, if somebody really is a police officer. But I would be closer where the cameras are, you know, and other people. That's a better thing for situational awareness. The other thing that I wanted to talk about is you have to decide whether, you know, you want to escape or if you want to fight or if you just want to surrender your car. I would do a what-if situation, you know, ahead of time. But just being smart by where you park, have your keys ready, and, you know, and what kind of valuables do you keep in your car? If you don't need them in there, get them out. I mean, people leave guns in the car. I know a lot of people that have their garage door openers in the car, so if they get the car, they can actually come to your house to open up your garage door.
Right, yes.
Your address is probably in the car. If you have to leave your purse or wallet in the car, they have your address. It's very scary. So I would have just the minimum stuff in your car in case, you know, something does happen. Those little little garage door openers, they could cause you a lot of problems as well. The other thing I want to let you know is that there's some situations where, besides tapping your bumper, where they've egged the front of the car, the windshield, with 2 or 3 eggs, and your first reaction is to turn your windshield wipers on. Well, that smudges all the eggs so it looks really cloudy and you can't get out. They want you to step out of the car. You know, whether they put a $10 bill on your back window and you see it when you're backing up. But, you know, that kind of stuff makes you an easy target, when you have to step out of your car. So you really have to be paying attention to those kind of distractions.
Greg, I absolutely hate with every fiber of my being that Louisville, Kentucky has gotten this bad. Last summer, there was an attorney by the name of Nick Mudd who went to social media and said, If you have to defend yourself because someone is threatening your life, carjacking you, I will defend you for free. That's because last year carjackings had gotten so bad. We're trending now that it's getting even worse. At what point, at what point is some citizen going to wind up shooting one of these scumbags?
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously it can happen. There's a lot of people with guns. As we know, the price of guns, I mean, have gone up. Ammo has gone up. And, you know, I hope everyone who has a gun has a responsibility to not only train with it, keep it in a safe place, but to be able to make up their mind when they're going to use it. And I would suggest they use it only when they're in fear of their life. You know, property, I know nobody likes to have the car stolen, and I understand that. But, you know, you have to ask yourself, are you going to take someone's life over this, you know, this piece of this machinery?
Greg, or lose your life.
Yeah.
I mean, you're forgetting the other guy's got a gun, too.
Yeah, and you could, and listen, you know, even if you get in that situation and you fire the gun, you could end up being prosecuted. You could be charged with, you know. So don't think that it's a black and white situation. When I say black and white, I mean it's clear cut.
Yeah,
there's a lot of gray area on these, you know, type of situations. So you could be prosecuted criminally or civilly if you shot somebody.
Summer was in a parking lot of a gym. Whether she's told you there was 10 or 15 people standing within 20 yards. You all, if there's a shootout right there, somebody else gets hit. Oh my gosh!
Hey, a buddy of mine,
just take the car.
My buddy Fred, he got carjacked at gunpoint. In broad freaking daylight at the gym on a Sunday at 11 a.m. So it's bad out there. Be aware of your surroundings.
Last thing, Greg, and to your point, Dwight, my sister worked in Miami in the late 80s.
Yep.
They used to not prosecute people for running red lights because some parts in Miami, if you stopped at the red light, you got carjacked. They told people just keep on driving. Don't stop at the red light.
His name is Greg Getcher. And by the way, he's got a wonderful book that I've read myself. It's called The Sneaking Deacon. And, man, it tells everything from your Secret Service time. And plus it benefits. 100% of the proceeds go to what, Greg?
Kids Cancer Alliance, a charity I've been with for over 20 years.
What a fantastic book, The Sneaking Deacon. Make sure you get it from Secret Service to Sacred Service. How about that?
Thanks, Greg.
Hey, Greg, thanks a million, my friend. We appreciate it more than you know.
Okay, guys, take care.
All right, folks, if you need a new roof, siding, or gutters, they'll take care of you at Christian Brothers Roofing. They live by their mottos and their core values. Trust me, you're not going to have a bad experience with Christian Brothers Roofing. Who can you trust to put it in? Look, a new roof, it sucks when you need a new roof. There's no bones about it. I mean, it's not a fun experience to try to get a new roof. But what you want to do is get the best roof on your house so you don't have to worry about this again, or the best siding, or the best windows, the best gutters. So what you got to do is call 818-3046, 818-3046, and go to Christian Brothers Roofing, serving Kentuckiana since 1997, Better Business Bureau, A+, or just go to their website, christianbroroofing.com, and get a free estimate, for your home with Christian Brothers Roofing. Back after this, keep it where you got it. We're barreling towards the third hour on News Radio 840 WHAM.